Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for February the 27th. In the year of our Lord, 2017, this is our 2 of 2 in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. They don't turn out very well. They're never very peaceful, number one. And number two, most times folks lose and tyranny results. We stand for restoration, a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast and hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. And our buddy Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union. He's the president over there doing a great job, NTU.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Great to be here.
We got a lot to talk about. Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just going to ask Pete a few questions. Pete, I don't know if you got to go to CPAC over the weekend, but I know you hang out and live basically in that area. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with Mr. Pete, he's been with us for many, many years. The National Taxpayers Union is basically the only real union besides the More Perfect Union that we try to promote. Many of the other unions are what you'd call a forced unions. But Pete, as you analyze what's been going on in Washington, D.C. and CPAC maybe lately, what are the hot items on your list?
Well, I did get to CPAC, Kurt, and it was an interesting experience. There were probably more folks from mainstream media covering that event than any time I've ever seen in my life. Obviously, many of them were around to see, are there intolerant folks? Is there going to be some massive gaffe created by Trump or Vice President Pence speaking at the event? None of that really happened. And I think one of the important things, though, that we as a limited government pro-liberty movement ought to take into account is that people are still very restless to see signs of change. That's what I certainly saw and heard at CPAC over late last week and the weekend. Folks are willing to give this new administration a chance to prove itself, but prove itself it has to, and it's got to do it early. I'm not so sure that the momentum right now, either in the administration or in Congress, has been encouraging enough to many taxpaying citizens who want to see, if not sweeping change, then signs of change on a consistent basis. You know, that's really two sides of the coin here when it comes to fundamental change. And Sam, you and I have talked about this a lot. We don't always have to change the world overnight, but we have to convince folks that we're working to change it one piece at a time, and we're succeeding. And I think we need to pick one path here and stick with it. That's something that both the White House and Congress are still trying to figure out. They don't have much more time to do it.
I agree they don't have much more time to do it. I do know, though, that the enemies of the Republicans, and I use that term loosely because I'm not sure what a Republican is these days, the enemies of liberty, the enemies of the constitutional republic, seem to want to manipulate and lie about everything on the planet, from the global warming lies to lies about Donald. He said that the press is an enemy of the people. They literally bring that back to the French Revolution and to Stalin and say, you know, Donald's carrying forth communist ideology. Why don't we embrace democracy? Well, both of those are lies from the New York Times, Pete Sepp. We don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. Democracy is a temporary form of government that really only lasts as long as the people realizing they can vote largesse to themselves from the government. Eventually, the whole system will capitulate to eventually anarchy and or a dictatorship. Democracy in its pure form is is as dangerous as communism, but they paint those two extremes that either you're a democracy-friendly Levin backer or you're kind of with Donald Trump and Stalin and the French revolutionaries who believed that something was an enemy of the people. I find this disingenuous, to say the least. They're using the Hegelian dialectic against the people, and people are too stupid to recognize it. It's the sad part. The truth is we've got to stand by solid principles. Terrorists at the borders are constitutional. We need to start there, decrease the taxes on the American people, create a level playing field, and reject free trade and move towards fair trade. Am I on spot on where it starts?
Oh, I think so. And speaking of the New York Times, of course, very recently the Times obtained a memo, an internal memo, from the White House that was outlining some possible programs on the federal level that might be either reduced or eliminated. The Times, of course, published the list and said, well, these program cuts would amount to, quote, a pittance, unquote. And that, of course, prompts the question, well, I didn't realize the New York Times had become such a voracious advocate of budget cuts to call these things a pittance. But setting that aside for a moment, what's the matter with starting to focus on a few places where we can make progress now in reducing the federal budget, showing how it's done?
Well, then the only problem with that is then you might actually fix the country, sir. They don't want that.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And of course, these are things that we have long said deserve scrutiny, if not elimination, then certainly dramatic reductions in funding. You've got the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the Appalachian Regional Commission, the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. These are the kinds of things that fiscal conservatives have said for years, let's start with these areas in the federal budget, work our way out, and before you know it, you're not only cutting billions, you're cutting tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars.
Amen to that. Now, Donald Trump says that he's going to meet with Congress tomorrow, lay out his plans to jettison Obamacare. They say right after Obamacare, they're taking on taxes. Are these things for real, do you think, or is it just talk?
I think that the president really wants to get this effort at reform back on track, and he sure has that opportunity in his speech tomorrow. We'll see if Congress receives it in the way it will be intended. And the intent, I think, here is to say, not so gently to Congress, you've got to stop fighting these battles out in front of each other and getting nowhere. If you have disagreements, air them, but do so in the way that congressional debate provides. Use the committee process, use the caucus process, use floor debate, and figure out how to cut and reform taxes from the start. This has been an important goal, and I've often said, look, we have problems in figuring out the common direction forward on tax reform, but those are great problems to have when you consider that in October, we were all thinking about how in the world are we going to stop a massive flood of tax increase proposals coming from a Clinton administration.
An example of that is this minimum wage discussion. The devilish nature of minimum wage and minimum wage laws is really interesting. And again, it's all how you frame the debate. Donald has been typically not for minimum wages. The Democrats are for them. I reject them and let the free market go to work. But minimum wage has often been used to have racist overtones, to basically say, you know what, because you're black, you don't have an education, you can't work for me, and minimum wages have been used for those reasons. Minimum wage has acted as a way to reject this idea that I completely support, which is apprenticeships or internships or whatever you want to call them, where, people would just basically walk onto the job and work for less until they learn the ropes. Then they'd be able to justifiably garner a greater wage. There's all kinds of opportunities, but you get the government schools at the center where they want to charge people a gazillion dollars for an education, saying that everyone, should have an education, government funding it out of the largesse of the taxpayers. this kind of goes along this democracy idea. But what you end up with is this minimum wage that, you know, Kurt Crosby always jokes and says, well, hey, we all ought to get paid $100. If minimum wage works, why don't we all just get rich together? The fact is, it's a lie. The fact is, we've got to start by rejecting a lot of these proposals that have been rolled out by Barack Hussein and crew, but then have been really implemented across the country piecemeal. Even Utah's working on a bill right now. They've got eight days left in the legislative session to reject it, but even they're pushing for minimum wage increases. We've got to start with the truth, Pete.
Yes, yes, and you make an excellent connection here, Sam. They're all sort of interdependent on each other. One of the justifications for a minimum wage is, well, we need higher incomes to get ahead. Well, you're behind because government put you behind.
And if we basically reduce taxes, we can start there. Let's talk about it. Pete Sepp, NTU.org on your radio in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Due to out-of-control taxation on the American people, ladies and gentlemen, under the lies of free trade agreements, we've upset the apple cart. No wonder folks can't make a living. No wonder they're pushing for minimum wages. It's the only way out of this spiral down for the American people's wealth that I see. The reality is we've got to reject free trade and go to fair trade. We've got to reject this minimum wage lie and let the free market take over. A lot of young people could start out as apprentice type folks for less than minimum wage because they don't have any skills. And I can say, you know what? I'm going to give you value for value. I'm going to trade my knowledge of IT of information and technology. You're going to work for me. First, you're going to be kind of a runner and kind of clean up and do simple tasks. But over time, I'll teach you and slowly you'll learn, and then I'll increase your wage incrementally as you bring value to me as a company. Because now that you've got knowledge, I'll trade your work for my imparting of knowledge first. And now you won't end up in debt to the eyeballs. And now you'll make a good wage over time when you deserve to make a good wage. That used to be the way it happened back in the day. But now we've got these free trade agreements where we ignore the founding father-esque viewpoint that we ought to have a level playing field and tariffs at the border, reducing the burden on the American. And if companies dump or countries dump products on the market at a loss by the largesse of their governments, then we would reject it and answer it with a tariff to level the playing field. If companies and countries embrace free market principles, we would lower those barriers, but they would exist to pay for the proper role of limited government. The Americans would be free. Taxes are grievous to be borne, biblically speaking, as well. Pete, let's start there and talk about minimum wage a little bit. It's an evil, sir. You got this college funded by government. Everybody gets college, so the price just skyrockets. Because everybody, when everybody can have something, it upsets the supply and demand. Then now that everybody's in debt to the hilt, you say you got to have a minimum wage so they can pay back that gargantuan debt to government. I mean, it never ends.
Yes, that's right. And of course, for helping the uninsured who don't have health insurance, government charges other people for it. If you don't want to participate in the government's plan, you get charged an individual mandate penalty that now runs an average of more than $1,000 per non-participating household. This is really the first time you have actually been fined for not doing something, not participating in a federal program. I mean, that is unprecedented, and it is a dangerous path. It's one reason why repealing Obamacare has been so high on the Republican agenda. What many of us continue to have a hard time figuring out is, why isn't there yet a plan for replacement? Well, granted, it's going to take a while to get some of the details right, but there is a lot of discussion among members of the House and Senate GOP over how best to go about the replacement of Obamacare. Well, you start with freedom. You start with empowering people with their own money. If you go from those principles, I think you'll wind up in a much better place. And there have been plenty of proposals over the years, some of them by Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price when he was a member of Congress. Why not start there?
Well, and why not start with Dr. Ron Paul's original plan? He had a proposal in the House many times that's still just as viable as it once was. It's based on free market principles. Dr. Rand Paul has not quite and is aggressive of a plan, but Dr. Rand Paul has one as well. There's plenty of plans, sir, but I think what we need to do is just make simple changes to the law one little piece at a time, and we don't need a massive replacement. We don't need a massive omnibus bill of any kind. What we need to do is piecemeal and say, look, we're no longer going to force people into a system. And the reason we're not, and the president could do this single-handedly, Pete, and tell me if you think I'm crazy on this or if it makes sense. The president could say, look, Congress said it was not a tax, but the courts said that it was. The courts interpreted the law that it was a tax. So if it's a tax, it wasn't passed properly. Therefore, we're going back to the drawing board. We're going to get rid of the individual mandate while this confusion reigns supreme in America. And Congress, you need to clearly lay out what the reality is so that the courts don't get it wrong. If you say it's not a tax, we're going to accept that it's not a tax. But then since the courts said it was a tax, it's DOA until you fix it. In the meantime, I'm putting a halt to the con game, and I'm not going to force taxpayers to be on the hook. Donald went halfway, but he didn't deliver all the way, but he could. On that premise alone, am I confused or is that right?
No, I think that's absolutely right. And in fact, we have precedent for that kind of action on behalf of taxpayers. When the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of the Treasury kept suing in court against telephone companies for collecting an excise tax on long-distance calls. This was part of the so-called Spanish-American War tax, and courts kept overruling the government, saying, no, this is unconstitutional. It's an imposition on interstate commerce, and it's unfair. The IRS is not allowed to demand collection of this tax. The IRS, not content to lose in just just a few districts and walk away, decided, well, we're going to keep challenging this law in every judicial district around the country. The Bush administration said, enough of this. We are going to tell the Treasury and the IRS, stop litigating this issue. Stop collecting the tax. We're not going to do it anymore. They can do the very same thing with this Obamacare individual mandate penalty.
So we got to get a hold of Donald and tell him that's number one, in my opinion, that could start with getting rid of the mandate. Then the other thing you can start doing is you can open up the opportunity for state or for companies to sell insurance across state lines. That's been a great impediment to this as well. But I want to buy insurance from those who are prepared to give me the policy that I want. Let the free market work. Can't we instantly make that happen too? Donald could say, look, you know what? We are going to let people sell across state lines. In fact, the whole purpose of the United States was to be able to let people do business wherever they choose in this free republic that we have here. And we're not going to put impediments to this. We're not doing it. Congress, if you want it different, then you need to rewrite the law clear. In the meantime, I'm standing for commerce. Could he do that?
That's an easy thing to do. Now, how far can he go in completely deregulating the market? I'm not sure, but I do think he could make some major executive orders to say things like the Commerce Department and the Justice Department will no longer sue on antitrust grounds for companies that want to offer their products across state lines. I mean, just simply saying to the business community, we're not going to stand in your way. You don't even necessarily need to pass a statutory law affirming that to help encourage the development of the products. Then Congress can affirm that step through statutory law, and we'll be ahead of the game.
Kurt, what do you think?
You know, it seems like there are plenty of solutions. I don't know how often you get to go to the website, Pete, of whitehouse.gov, but you know, I've been doing it a little bit more. I mean, I typically, during Obama administration, I tried to avoid it as often as possible. But since the new administration, almost, you know, at the time he was getting sworn in, it seemed like it's a breath of fresh air. And I know that you can go there and see, for example, on this, you know, these regulatory reform kind of plans. On the 24th of February, which happened to be my birthday, there were a couple of real good ones that showed up there. One of them was entitled President Trump Cuts Through More Red Tape. That was, you know, it explains it there. And then there was another one basically the same day. It's called Presidential Executive Order on Enforcing the Regulatory Reform Agenda. And I noticed there's a new thing in government. They're called an RRO. Are you familiar with an RRO, Pete?
Oh, yes. You're talking about regulatory relief, correct?
Well, pretty close. They call him a regulatory reform officer. I think that you would be one of the first regulatory reform officers I've ever met. And then
reform because usually it goes socialist.
Reform it right out of existence.
Why don't we just do regulatory shutdown and stand for liberty for a change? Let's have Pete Sepp respond to that. Kirk Crosby's on a roll. We'll do it all in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live. Pete Sepp with NTU.org on your radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Although President Trump has stiff-armed prominent organs of the legacy media in favor of more congenial conservative outlets, he has not proposed a revival of the 1798 Sedition Act. Under that measure, which was signed by Founding Father John Adams in defiance of his better judgment, dozens of newspaper editors were arrested and several imprisoned for supposedly publishing false, scandalous, and malicious writing against the president. Among them was Republican Representative Matthew Lyon of Vermont, who was imprisoned for writing a letter criticizing Adams for his unbounded thirst for ridiculous pomp, foolish adulation and self-avarice. Lyon was re-elected while serving time in prison. Thus far, President Trump has not called for official retaliation against his media critics. This isn't true of at least some of his more ardent supporters, including attendees at last week's Conservative Political Action Convention that applauded the suggestion that the U.S. government should revive an ancient Roman law allowing for the execution of citizens who calumniate, that is, defame, supposedly virtuous politicians. Let's go back to ancient Rome, urged former actor turned talk radio host Robert Davi, who is a passionate Trump supporter, to the enthusiastic applause of his audience. If such laws existed today, we would see more men like Donald Trump and Mike Pence running for Congress, or the Senate, or the presidency, and more fake reporters perhaps going to prison for the very lies they make up to commit cruel character assassination against the very best of our American heroes. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Kurt, let's go straight to you. You're referring to this new term. What is it, like a reform officer?
Well, they call it what's called the Presidential Executive Order on Enforcing the Regulatory Reform Agenda. It's an executive order dated my birthday, February 24th. I thought, you know, that's a good thing to happen on my birthday. But they say they're supposed to have these RROs, and they stand for Regulatory Reform Officer, and it's this is from the WhiteHouse.gov website, and these are supposed to be in force or in place within 60 days of the date of this order. And I'm thinking, man, you know, every American, every freedom-loving individual in the world ought to be an RRO. Just reform these things right out of existence.
Well, and that's kind of the problem, Kurt, is, you know, we talk about reform, and reform is always a buzzword to say.
Yeah.
We're afraid to really get rid of something and move back to a constitutional situation. And what we want to do is we want to promote something that, would be less than a repeal. And oftentimes the Band-Aid or the cure is worse than the ill in the first place, Pete.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it's important to remember, too, that just appointing a regulatory reform officer at the top of a bureaucracy that's used to over-regulating is not necessarily going to make the changes we want. We have to be sure that this administration ends up appointing people throughout the layers of the bureaucracy to make sure its wishes are carried out. That's a mistake that a lot of reform-minded presidents have made in the past. They say, well, I'm going to be fiscally conservative and practice what I preach, and I'm not going to appoint more than half of the people I'm entitled to. Well, I think that's a mistake, frankly. If the law allows you to appoint, and it does, upwards of 4,000 people politically in the administration, don't pay them an exorbitant salary. Sprinkle them into the federal bureaucracy where they're going to do the most good. And
yeah, because the problem is if we don't have those people, we lose the influence and the people, the eyes and ears throughout the administration to get it done is the point.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Chris from Utah wants to chime in. He has a tidbit he wants to throw in. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Pete. Hi, Kurt. Hey, great to talk to you guys. Yes, I think what is missing in America, and you guys will probably concur, is moral law. There is such a thing as constitutional law, and that was designed to give guideposts to us to maintain God's moral law. All that Trump needs is for him to be on the side of God's moral authority in order to enact policy in behalf of the American people. And unfortunately, early indications indicate that we are not going in that direction. For example, public lands. He needs to merely make a pre-existent statement or acknowledge a pre-existent fact that those lands are and should be a part of individual states, and that the federal government has no jurisdiction or authority to regulate them in any way, shape, or form. And he seems to feel as if he has to wait upon the Supreme Court or Congress to legitimize those statements. But he has more authority than all the men on the earth combined, which is God's moral authority. And he doesn't seem to be exercising that or be interested in doing so. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to have Pete Sepp respond to that. What do you say, Pete?
There are some natural principles here that could inform the administration's policymaking.
Shoot, I just chopped off Pete by mistake. Kurt, go ahead. I'll grab him back.
All right. Well, you know, we're talking about chopping off regulations and chopping off government at the knees, and getting it back down to where it's the servant of the people instead of the master of the people. And so there's a lot of chopping off going on lately. You know, I was just, once again, I'd recommend the whitehouse.gov website. You can look up things at least based on what they, you know, say happened instead of what, you know, the New York Times or somebody else says that happened. And, you know, there's another article that I wanted to bring up that I thought was pretty interesting.
Hold on, before we get to the article, though, Pete's back. Let's just have him respond to Chris. I just don't want to lose Chris's
response. Yeah, good
idea.
Good point.
So, Pete, he's basically saying, look, you got God's authority. You were saying, yeah, there are natural laws and natural realities here that we need to focus on.
Yes, I would agree that there are certain principles that can guide policymaking, and you can call the authority for that, people's natural right to liberty and to prosper in the way they see fit. And we have to think of the principles that guided our founders in drafting the Constitution. They were informed by a moral sense that what they were doing was constructing a framework in which people would be able to live their lives the way they wished.
And to Chris's point, they had some fundamental things in place. You don't eke out groups and pull the lever of government in favor of groups at the expense of the rest. That's one principle that you really can hang your hat on when it comes to moral law to understand. Look, it needs to apply to everyone equally. And you cannot carve out groups and pit group against group. That's one of the ways to destroy a country. The other principle is that you can't directly target and affect somebody. In other words, violate their personal privacy or their rights. That's why a lot of the IRS and some of the direct taxation is so evil. You can't have government directly individually targeting folks. You've got to have it more of a blanket or based on the census or a number thing, or, you know, in other words, hey, there's this many people in this area. You can't do things personally or directly. It violates privacy. It targets individuals. Government has no business there. And there's a very direct understanding of limited defensive government versus direct offensive government. When you understand a couple of these natural principles, as Pete speaks of, you get close to what Chris is talking about. The other one, though, is a direct acknowledgement that God's at the helm, and I would say Donald's not near where he ought to be on that. But hey, he broke at his inauguration a record. He had more prayers than anybody else, and I commend him for that. He's also appealed to God many times. He's talked about stopping the abuse of pastors and religious leaders. They're allowed to say what they want to. Free speech does trump, pardon the phrase, this idea that, oh, just because you're a religious leader, you can't now talk about it because you get tax breaks. He's trying to make a difference on a lot of these fronts. And I agree that the president has a lot of authority, and he's not using it, in my mind, as much as he could. However, they've set up a trap for him in that everything he does, they want to act like it smacks of tyranny, act like it smacks of running roughshod over Congress or roughshod over the courts. They've set a trap for him in that, and we need to have the new media taking center stage really lay that out in a fair way, not a politically driven way, Pete.
Yes, and I think we also have to bear in mind that it's very easy to just accept that the last 8 years of overreach, and well, frankly, even under George W. Bush's administration, borrowing recklessly and unacceptable regulations, all of that is somehow a status quo that we should be afraid to change, that it can just keep going on. We need to be worried about the future under the status quo. People talk about, well, Trump had to make the promise he did over Social Security and Medicare because other Republicans in Congress want to destroy those systems as we know it. Doing nothing will destroy Social Security and Medicare as we know it. Doing nothing will allow new Obamacare taxes that have been delayed for several years to come online. Doing nothing will cause insurance rates to keep going up and for people to keep losing coverage and for markets to keep shrinking. It's not as if the choice is, well, this horrible agenda of President Trump and a pretty much okay going agenda that we have that President Obama left us. No, the status quo is not going to stay the same. It's going to make things worse.
And that's why we need to take action like, you know what, if somebody comes up with a private sector insurance plan that's nothing but catastrophic insurance, and I get on that, you got to say, hey, that even though that may not follow the dictates of Barack Hussein, you know what? I'm exempt from any penalties. They should get rid of the penalties entirely, but I'm just saying I would go for an appropriate catastrophic plan only because that would protect my family but yet not interfere with my day-to-day life and cost me a gazillion dollars, which I can't afford. There's so many ways we could move forward with this. We've just got to get off the dime and start to take action. Kurt, you had an article to focus on.
Yeah, there's a lady named Ann Coulter that occasionally gets a little bit of news coverage and says a few things, you know, a little interesting to me. And she had a piece, Pete, maybe you've already seen it, but it's called The Silence of the Lambs Congress. And anyway, she points out the fact that, hey, man, there were six times that the Congress passed repeals of the Obamacare thing during Obama's administration, and now it's kind of quiet.
We'll talk about it more in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt, spot on. So is Pete Sepp, NTU.org. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking. And I've like tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking because my mom sends those things out. And she's like sitting here folding them up. And I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong, and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ann Coulter, silence of the Congress, Kurt.
Yeah, well, anyway, she points out this little idea that, that there were six times when the Congress sent Obamacare repeal bills to Obama himself, and she says, knowing that there was no chance of them being signed into law, back then Republicans, she says, were full of vim and vigor. But the moment Trump became president, the repeals came to a screeching halt. She says, McConnell and Ryan got together for this amazing plan. They said they were going to repeal this whole thing in the 200 days. They called it the 200-day plan. She said, what was in the last six Obamacare repeals? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, carefully typed out 1 million times. Anyway, bottom line is, she just says, hey, these guys, they're the ones holding things up. And I think she's right. What do you say, Pete?
Well, I'd have to say there, and as Sam said earlier, if the fear is here that somehow Congress is reluctant to move forward because unless they give some consideration to a really gigantic, intricate plan, they're going to miss some moving part and it's going to collapse the whole system. No, I think there are steps, again, that can be taken right now that are relatively benign that are going to be a good thing in virtually any replacement scheme, whatever they decide on, again, to show the American people that they're going to be at work on this issue and they're going to make progress one step at a time. And repealing the individual mandate is one of those. Another is allowing people to purchase insurance across state lines. I mean, is there any replace plan or repeal scenario, either way, that would make allowing people to buy insurance across state lines harmful or somehow ineffective or contradictory to whatever else they're going to pass? I really can't imagine one.
What are we going to do with Congress, though? The fact is, Donald's done a ton. And if you look at Ann Coulter's article, Kurt, she talks about how many things Donald has done, and Congress has literally done nothing. Congress talked big, but they've done nothing. Even when we elected them before, when Barack was in office, we thought we had something going. They did nothing. Now they're doing nothing again. They're going to destroy the whole reason the American people put them all in power. They've never had such a majority in every governmental entity you can think of. The House, the Senate, the courts, the White House, the states. It goes on and on and on. They'll never get a better chance than this, Pete Sepp, in our lifetimes.
That's right. And we're very concerned for the prospects of tax reform for that reason. I mean, there is so much argumentation going on now, for example, over the border adjustability fight with the corporate income tax reform or the interest deduction or the expense deduction or limits on itemized deductions on the personal side. And the arguing is going back and forth within the Republican Party in the House and Senate. And we're here sort of standing athwart all of it saying, wait a minute, have your debate. But you are arguing so early, so viciously, so loudly about these things, you're going to doom the chances for moving forward with a comprehensive plan because it's all going to break down. And then where are you going to be? I mean, there are folks who have been saying on the conservative side of the ideological spectrum, you know, anything, even the status quo is better than what House Republicans have proposed in their tax reform blueprint. That is absolute nonsense. If you've got a problem with one or both or several elements, the main elements of the plan, sure, figure out a way to make constructive recommendations. But to say that you'd rather have nothing than the reform plans that have been advanced so far, I mean, that is just crazy talk, I'm afraid.
But our buddies at Downsize DC have the answer, though. What they need is single issue at a time bills. They need to read the Bills Act in place. They need to have people basically have up and down votes on things that matter. I could simply say, look, we're going to pass a law right now that says we're not going to penalize people. I could create another one that says we're going to allow people to buy insurance across state lines. We're going to deregulate these things one little piece at a time. And then you can clearly, with an up or down vote, show who's against and who's for the right things. I'm going to clearly have tariffs at the borders to create a level playing field. Okay, these things could be done in single pages. They're financially simple to understand. We don't have to make it this omnibus battle that we'll never get through. Isn't that the start to having real change?
Yes, it absolutely is. Because that way, things will be debated out in the open, one subject at a time. And frankly, that was the way that our founders really envisioned Congress would work. And people say, well, that's just a quaint notion, you know, that they drafted the Constitution so long ago, almost 220, more than 220 years ago at this point. And it just doesn't reflect modern reality. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that if Congress were to be put into that disciplined mode of lawmaking and debate, not only would the American people benefit, they would benefit in managing the workload.
It would slow down a lot of what passes without scrutiny. It would let everybody understand exactly where their politicians stand on a given issue clearly, concisely. It would be easy for you folks at the National Taxpayers Union. You draw up a lot of analysis based on what, you know, the toll would be for certain things, etc. This would make your job dead easy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely would. It would be much easier to unravel the fiscal implications during debate over these kinds of bills. And taxpayer advocates, not only NTU, but other organizations, could keep better track of what's moving through Congress. We could inform the American people more directly of the consequences, and they would have a lot more input with Congress. Now, that's something they claim to welcome on Capitol Hill. I'm not so sure they always really do, but they would sure get a lot more feedback, and I think much higher quality feedback on what they're doing.
Kurt, what do you think? To me, it just seems like we got to start somewhere. And the reason I love the piecemeal thing, one issue or one subject at a time, read the Bills Act, single-page bills, is because then the American people could literally get involved and let their representatives know what they feel and think on a given issue. Right now, I can't even understand what they're working on. I mean, supposedly they've been working on health care and lowering taxes, but I don't really see any movement. I don't see any real discussion or real points. I don't see any plans I can review. I don't really see anything of substance. They say that a plan was leaked and, oh, it's so wicked, horrible, and everything else, but I don't really see anything that I can evaluate or even get involved in or encourage my congressmen and senators for or against. I can simply say we've got to get rid of Obamacare. But it's funny, we call it Obamacare, but really the House and Senate passed it. It's really congressional care. Because they're the ones that could single-handedly, one, make it happen and fund it, and or two, get rid of it. And Kurt, your thoughts on that? How is it Obamacare?
You know, we've been told for many years that the standard politician is all for transparency and openness and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you'd sure think that, hey, you know, this would be a perfect time for Trump, along with any of those who support him, to say, look, you know, Congress is, they've done all these crazy things in the past presidencies and past administration, done all these crazy things with huge bills with 5,000 pages or whatever it is, all this stuff. And we're going to get down and be really transparent, do one page or one item at a time bills, just like our buddies, you know, mentioned there at the downsizedc.org. And, you know, I'm sure that Pete and National Taxpayers Union would welcome, you know, a lot more openness and transparency from all of Congress as well as the president.
Pete, I want a kind of a prediction from you. Do you think Congress is going to get it done, or do you think we're going to find ourselves 2 years later with Donald trying to do a lot of things that get stymied and shut down by his own party in many cases, and, hey, then we lose ground in the next election cycle, 2020 or whatever it is, or 2000. What do you think is going to happen? What's your prediction?
Right now, I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic. I think that there are still enough citizens out there who have a direct interest in seeing this administration and Congress succeed. I think that there are enough people who are still angry and want to see a fundamental change in direction, and they're going to pressure Congress to do it. A wise person, I was reading this morning, I don't remember the name of the person, said it is Congress's natural tendency to remain in gridlock unless pressured to untangle itself from the outside. And that's going to be the key over the next several weeks. And I don't mean months, I mean weeks. We're going to have to see signs of a change of direction, even if it's gradual, very soon.
I agree. To some degree, it needs to be gradual, but enough's got to be done to get the American people really engaged to feel like something's be done. Because if it's too gradual, the American people will disengage because they won't really see progress. I'll give you an example. Donald's done a lot of good that he's not getting credit for, but because Congress has done nothing, most Americans don't see most of it.
That's right.
So our prayers are there. Pete Sapp, my friend, thanks so much for all that you do. NTU.org, keep us posted, will you?
Will do.
Kurt, final word's yours.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the National Taxpayers Union has been fighting for your taxpayers' rights for a lot of years, and all I can say is God save America, and hey, let's make it a great day, huh, Sam?
NTU.org, highly recommended, ladies and gentlemen. Your partner in solutions, that is for sure. Sam and Kurt, 2 hours in the can, hard-hitting talk radio, always at your fingertips. Would love your support, including financial. LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, and TheFreedomCoalition.com. Check them out. Get involved in solutions today. This nation shall endure.